Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We are halfway to the weekend. It is a beautiful, incredible Wednesday afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us. And you just heard in the forecast from Peyton Malone, 80 to 81 for the high today. That's not too bad. Not too bad. But, you know, when it gets close to 90, I'm not as happy as I am when it's closer to 80. So it's not going to be bad. It's going to be a beautiful day. And you've heard the forecast for Jazz Fest. Look, how many Jazz Fests have dealt with rain? And I'm not sure what's going to happen next weekend, but the long-range forecast looks good for next weekend, too. That could change, but let's just worry about this weekend. The first weekend of Jazz Fest, which begins tomorrow, there's basically no chance of rain. And it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a little on the warm to hot side and muggy, but that's what we expect with Jazz Fest. All right. We've got a lot to talk about this afternoon. Really glad you're with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Some of you might have been caught in this early morning crash on the interstate from LaPlace to Kenner. Police had to shut down the I-10 across the Bonnie Carey spillway because there was a couple of vehicles involved, and an 18-wheeler had jackknifed across the bridge. And this happened just after 3:15 in the morning, and all lanes were open by 6:15. But I'm sure there was some backed-up traffic there. And NOPD is looking for a driver. There's a hit-and-run, and somebody was killed. This was on the interstate in downtown New Orleans, I-10 East at Poydras Street, the Poydras Street exit. And you know, when I hear about somebody like on the interstate, were they on the interstate or on the ramp? You know, this is not a place for pedestrians. Now, this person shouldn't have taken off. They should have stayed there. But hey, you know, I know how that is. I got hit by a motorcycle crossing Canal Street, and this motorcycle just sped up and hit me and sped off. In fact, it was going so fast that the cameras downtown couldn't even figure out the license plate number. All right, city council members dealing with some progress on the street light repairs. Look, there are some positive things going on around New Orleans. I know we've got a long way to go, but look, let's also recognize some of the positive things that are happening. And among those things, we've got an article on our website, Crime Nearing Historic Lows in New Orleans. And this is from the Metropolitan Crime Commission. They're talking about significantly fewer incidents in all categories of major violent crimes. This is really good. So far in 2024, there have been 50 homicides. And the Metropolitan Crime Commission says at this time last year, there were 86 homicides and 90 the year before. So this is progress. This is good. I don't know. You know, maybe a lot of the bad people got killed off and there's fewer bad people to shoot and kill now. I don't know, but this is positive. And I know that when crime is up and we're talking about crime, it lights up the phone lines, it lights up the text line, and we've just got everybody talking about it. When it's positive, not many people really want to comment, but we're still going to talk about it. You know, even though talk radio is often generated, much of the energy is generated from negative news. If there's positive news, we're going to talk about it on this show. And crime nearing historic lows in the city, that's a really positive thing. So Mayor Cantrell's choice of Ann Kirkpatrick as NOPD chief was a positive thing. Michelle Woodfork, who was the interim police chief before Kirkpatrick, she was doing a good job, and she kind of turned the curve on that. So, you know, this is good news. And I remember a time, and if you listen to the show, you remember this time too, when every day we were talking about a carjacking. We were talking about windows being busted out, and we were just talking about murders and one shooting after another. There are still shootings, and far too many shootings. But we're not talking about those things that we were talking about so often. The carjackings, the broken windows. We weren't talking about that like we once were. And so this is positive news for the city. So I don't know what more to say about it except, you know, whatever everybody is doing, keep doing what you're doing. And we still need more people to turn over information to NOPD about the bad people. We will talk a little bit about Trump's trial. Now, you know, for those who think that we beat up on Trump every day, I mean, the facts are there. You know, we have not spent a lot of time talking about the trial, not as much as we could, because this is a major event. We're touching on it. We're talking about it. But we're not spending all day talking about this. So we'll have highlights on the trial. And we'll talk about David Pecker, who was on the stand yesterday, and some of the information that that came out there. Also, we've got to talk a little bit more about the protest. And Columbia University is setting deadlines for an agreement with protesters. And if not, they're going to talk about options that they have to clear out the protesters. Now, it's okay to have a peaceful protest, but I think it's wrong for the protesters to get in the face of Jewish people and threaten them, or get in the face of Jewish people and harass them. Have your protest, but leave these Jewish people alone. And I still, as I said yesterday, I just kind of get this sense that there's protest in the air, like the 60s and early 70s. And I'm not going to be surprised if we see more protests, but a lot is going to depend on how authorities handle all of this. Also, the picture of the guy at the St. Louis King of France Fair Festival, the Gumbo Festival in Bucktown over the weekend, the guy who was pictured off in the background, somebody was taking a picture of me, and it was from the back, and this guy's ahead of me, which I didn't see. I ended up taking a picture with the guy and did not even read his T-shirt when I took the picture. I didn't even realize what the T-shirt said. So later I get home and I find this guy off in the distance, and the T-shirt is about how he's a dad trying not to raise liberals. So he's trying to make sure that his kids don't turn out to be liberals. And there were a couple of things about that hit me, and we talked about it on the air on Monday. And it is it's on my website. I'm sorry, it's on my Facebook page, Scoot on the Air. There's also some on the Scoot page on WWL.com. But the comments are over 400 comments on this one post at Scoot on the Air Facebook. It's just amazing how much energy this has generated. And there's a lot of differing opinions. Some people think, okay, well, fine, the guy wore the T-shirt. I never said he didn't have the right to wear the T-shirt, and there's some people who maybe didn't hear the show because they're talking about his right to wear the T-shirt. No, this gentleman has a right to wear the T-shirt. I just don't think it's right to wear a T-shirt that is politically charged to a kids' festival on school grounds. I don't think that's the place to bring up politics. I don't think it's the place to bring up a conversation that might be insightful. You know, just, you know, save that for another time. So, of course, he has a right to wear it. And if he got kicked out for wearing the T-shirt, which he didn't, but if he would have, I would have supported that the guy had a right to be there. But I don't think it was right for him to wear the T-shirt there. But anyway, you can comment, and you can comment on some of the comments. That's on Scoot on the Air Facebook. Also, I wrote a blog yesterday. Finally, reasonable Republicans are fighting back against right-wing radicals. And we've been talking about this for a couple of years now, and finally it's starting to happen in this election year where reasonable Republicans, it's a good way to put it, are fighting back against right-wing radicals. And these right-wing radicals are trying to take over the Republican Party, and they shouldn't be allowed to do that, in my opinion. And so reasonable Republicans are fighting back. That blog is posted on the front page of our website, WWL.com. It's also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page where you can comment on it. And I will read some of your comments from Facebook in just a little while. Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, too, as well. How are you today?
I'm good. You're dressed up because you did another appearance on a morning show to promote the play that you're in on Thursday.
Yeah, I went and hung out with Shelby Latino for a few minutes over on Fox 8 this morning to talk about Born with Teeth, which has our final dress rehearsal is tonight. Preview tonight is tomorrow night, and then opening night is Friday. And you're going to be in that number, yeah?
Well, yeah, I'm planning to be there Friday. I don't think I can make it tomorrow night, but I can make it Friday.
There's no reason for you to come Thursday if you can come Friday. It's
give you all another day to work it out before I come.
Oh yeah, we want to make sure we don't get anything screwed up. Hey, look, I wanted to say good afternoon to you and to everybody listening, except the Louisiana State Legislature. What are you doing?
Oh my God!
What are these guys and gals doing? It's madness.
You know, look, let's just repeat the nickname that we came up for them, the Louisiana Legislature, the Baton Rouge Boneheads.
Baton Rouge Boneheads. I forgot about that. Yeah, they found time in between, you know, eliminating lunch breaks for child employees and blowing up public records law to pass Senate Bill 237, which will ban hemp consumable products, you know, your Crescent Canna, your Louie Louie, any of the gummies and tinctures that we've all kind of grown accustomed to being available in public retail situations for the last couple of years. And I was very surprised and disappointed to see our own New Orleans Senator Royce Duplessis vote to advance that bill. And if he had not voted, it wouldn't have mattered because there was the numbers were not in our favor anyway. But I don't get it. Why are you trying to hurt Louisiana businesses?
All right, so it's banning now products that have THC in them.
Yeah, yeah, the ones that you can go buy at Rouse's and gas stations and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Crescent Canna and Louie Louie, I think, are the two big brands, but I know there's others certainly on the way if they're not here already. But so there's a competing bill in the House which will more strictly regulate those products. You know, okay, put them behind the counter with the tobacco products. Move them out of the alcohol section to somewhere where, you know, it's harder for minors to get to it. I don't know. Fine, let's do that. Cap the amount of THC per serving. Fine, go do that. But if the Senate bill becomes law and they ban these products outright, that doesn't mean people in Louisiana who want these products aren't going to be able to get them because it's still legal to order them from other places. Other states in the region are not banning these products. So if we want to go get a THC seltzer, we can do that. But that money's going to be going somewhere else. So I don't understand the justification behind banning these products when we just legalized them like 30 months ago. And, you know, we're creating local jobs and it means people are drinking less alcohol, which I think is an objectively good thing, unless you're a billionaire liquor mogul who's, you know, maybe helping make some of this happen. You know, just asking questions. But I'm annoyed about this. We're all kind of getting jerked around by these legislators, man. They're just doing some wacky stuff.
That's why we have collectively named them the Baton Rouge Boneheads, because that's what they are. And they're led by our bonehead governor. I mean, I hate to say it, Governor Landry, but you're a bonehead, dude. I mean, there are so many people who are disappointed in you. And the number of people who are disappointed in you, that number is going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger if you continue down this path of pandering to right-wing radicals. I mean, stop it. You're out of step with the Republican Party. You're out of step with your own party. And if you want to be one of those extremists and you want to continue to kiss Trump on the booty, that's your choice. But, you know, you're going to become an endangered species at some point. So, you know, I agree with Ian. You know, there's more important things to deal with than ban that. And there's some people who are in business doing that, legitimate business selling that stuff. And they're going to be affected by this. So we'll keep track of that.
I know there's people up there that are working hard on insurance and all the other much more important things we have to deal with. But the headlines are going to this wacky stuff that nobody seems to want except the 30 people in that room in Baton Rouge. Yeah.
Well, these are signature bills. This is like, these are statement bills.
Yes, they're
making,
exactly right.
They're making a statement. They're making a statement about marijuana.
Or the Ten Commandments in every classroom.
Yeah,
like, what
right.
are you
oh,
doing?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the Supreme Court's already ruled on this, but, you know, the Ten Commandments in every classroom, like, you really think that's going to make a difference? And, you know, if crime goes down, if they put them in the classrooms right now and crime goes down, what did I just say? Crime's already going down.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put them in the classrooms and crime continues to go down, you can't point to you put them in the classrooms and crime goes down. No, crime's already going down. So again, Baton Rouge Boneheads, it's the perfect name for them collectively. I'm sure there's a few good ones there. All right, we've got John LeBlanc from Metairie Bank coming up with Scoot on the Air. Money trends with Metairie Bank. We've got that coming up. But let's do a couple of quick texts.
I'll be speedy. Here's a text that says, hey, I'm going to Red Rocks on Friday. You ooh, both seem to be familiar wow. with Colorado. I have a free day on Saturday. Any suggestions on what to do?
Yes, when you're walking from your car to Red Rocks, just watch out for the rattlesnakes.
That's sage advice.
I'm serious.
Did you encounter many rattlesnakes on the way back to your car?
You might encounter a rattlesnake. Yeesh. I mean, there's, you know, it's in the foothills of the foothills to the Rockies, and you're not going to find a better place to see a concert.
It's
amphitheater.
Beautiful.
It is just spectacular, and people like Sting and many other artists, they say that is their favorite place to play in the world, and the rocks are red and big and smooth, and it's beautiful, but you know, watch out for the rattlesnakes.
The rocks are very red.
Yes.
They're big rocks, big beautiful
huge,
rocks.
Huge.
They're very red. Many people are saying they're some of the reddest rocks they've ever seen.
Here's a text that says, yes, lower crime is great news. I do wonder, what are the factors for this? Is it the new police chief? I'm sure this is a part of it, if not the biggest reason. I thought I'd ask about it.
Yeah, well, I think the police chief, I think they have instituted some different changes in how police operate, and I think that seems to be helping. So I'm sure there's a few factors involved, but I think the new police chief is part of that.
And I'll leave you with this one. Scoot, I thought Gone in 60 Seconds was a movie, not a reference to the selling of the Killers concert tickets. I hope you got yours.
Yeah, well, you know, not yet, but I'm going to see if I can find a way to, you know, get a pair, because the Killers at Jazz Fest on Friday and a concert at Tips. Killers at Tips is just an unbelievable moment in time. That's going to be amazing. So, yeah, I'm going to try and be there, but there's no guarantee. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. We have got a lot to talk about this afternoon, and we're going to come back with Money Trends with Metairie Bank on WWL. That's next. We'll be back.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
It's time for Scoot on the Air Money Trends with Metairie Bank on WWL, and John LeBlanc, Metairie Bank CEO, joins us live on the air. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. Glad to be with you today.
Thank you for being here. Great weather. It's going to be a phenomenal weekend for Jazz Fest, and hopefully next weekend will be just as nice. Let's talk about the economic impact of Jazz Fest and what it means. And you have the insight of a banker, and you see where the money goes, and you see how there's this ripple effect of the Jazz Fest being here and how the benefits of that just ripple through our society.
Absolutely, Scoot. You know, we are so fortunate to have this great event here in our city, and actually all the events we've had this month. It's been a amazing month with the French Quarter Festival, and not only do we have the Jazz Fest starting tomorrow, but we've also got a one-of-a-kind PGA golf event in Jefferson Parish starting tomorrow as well. So we've got a ton of stuff going on, and I can tell you, you know, from our customers' perspectives and some of the other folks that we speak to, you know, this is a much-needed economic boost for our local economy, not just the food vendors and the T-shirt salespeople. within the confines of the fairgrounds out there. But one of the interesting things about the Jazz Fest is it's one of the few festivals that kind of wraps up, let's say, relatively early in the day. You know, it's usually over around 7 o'clock. And all of these people, 100,000, 150,000 people, leave the fairgrounds and spill out into the city, into our restaurants and nightclubs and theaters. And it's just a multiplier effect on our economy. So there's just it's just such a amazing economic engine, this festival that we're fortunate enough to have.
Now, with the Zurich Classic in town the same weekend, do you think that the money spent per capita of those for the Zurich Classic might be a little greater than those who are in town for Jazz Fest?
You know, I think that would be an interesting study to see the results. You know, I do think if you're traveling in town for the golf tournament, I'm sure you're going to want to throw in a day at the Jazz Fest. I don't see how you can pass up on that opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, the Jazz Fest, if you look at it just as a music event, the entertainment value for your ticket price, you can't beat that for a full day of music from any genre that appeals to you. Then you throw in the food opportunities out there. It is just a great value. So I would think, you know, if you're traveling in for the Zurich Golf Tournament, you try and schedule a day or two to head over to the Jazz Fest. And I'd be surprised if that wasn't part of the scheduling process.
Where, maybe so.
You know, when the tour comes to town, it certainly doesn't hurt that we've got the
Well, you know, I'm just thinking about, like, when I watch, you know, when I'm channel surfing, I'm not a golfer, so I don't really stay very long. But if I hit the golf channel and I see some of the commercials that advertise on the golf channel, this is a rather wealthy crowd that you know, generally speaking, that plays golf. And I don't know if golf can be expensive, but I think that if you can take that much time in your life, you got to have some extra money in your life. So these are people that may have a little money. I'm kind of joking about it, but you see the commercials on the Golf Channel, and you know that this is a rather wealthy crowd that's in town.
Without a doubt, it is. It's a good crowd. It's the kind of crowd we want to attract to the city, and I think it's we're just very fortunate. And I think one of the other interesting things that I guess I haven't mentioned, we've really talked about the direct impact on the local vendors and the local restaurants and that sort of thing. But I think, you know, what we don't talk about enough is the actual Jazz and Heritage Foundation and the great work that they do. You know, they do a lot of great work supporting our musicians, you know, throughout the year, whether it's hosting events or grants that they make available to help keep the culture alive in the city. They do a lot of amazing things. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure we plug those guys for a second, because they really do a lot to keep the jazz culture and heritage alive in the city. And, you know, we get the benefits of that throughout the year.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And, you know, also the idea that it does shut down relatively early. It doesn't go into the night. And people who go to Jazz Fest, a lot of them are tired and they go home, but a lot of them are going out in the city.
Hey, yeah, maybe some of them can go see Ian on Friday night.
That's right. Go to Ian's play. John, thank you for being with us, and it's always great to have you on with SOTA Money Trends here on WWL with you and with Paul Myers. Thank you for being with us, and love your insight into everything that we talk about. And, you know, this is just a really great time. The weather's going to be beautiful, and the Zurich Classic and the incredible Jazz Fest happening this weekend. The weather's going to be near perfect for both of these events, and that's a blessing.
Absolutely. I hope everyone gets to go out and enjoy it. Have a great day, Scoot.
You too, John. John LaValle, Metairie Bank CEO, with us for SOTA Money Trends on WWL. All right, we'll come back with some of your text messages. And I want to share with you this idea that reasonable Republicans are fighting back against right-wing radicals. If you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Also, are you going out to dinner more or less? More or less, going out to dinner, fail spending money, going out to dinner? Well, apparently there are so many people on weight loss drugs like Ozempic that restaurants are noticing the profits are down. Now, because those things kind of suppress appetite, so people aren't eating as much, and maybe they're not going out to eat as much. I don't know. Maybe there's just a trend right now of not going out as often. Are you going out more or less? We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be right back on WWL. It is a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. It is a sunshine day.
Slaps!
With Scoot on the air on WWL.
What? It does.
Love this. Love this.
Cindy.
You know, they were terrible dancers. I mean, it was very mechanical when you saw them do their choreography. Very mechanical. I mean, it was like a bunch of white people trying to dance.
Ooh, a bunch of Blanco Ninos out yes. there cutting a rug, huh? Okay.
All right. For several years, I have expressed dismay that mainstream Republicans were passively watching as right-wing radical Republicans tried to take control of the party and, at the very least, control the Republican message nearly every day. Why were the majority of Republicans standing by, appearing to be helpless to change an attempted coup of their own party by the likes of Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and right-wing radical media personalities like Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, and others? The bottom line is that the perception is that right-wing radicals follow former President Donald Trump and reflect Donald Trump's attempts to take over the Republican Party himself. He calls himself a Republican, but I believe he thinks he's bigger than the Republican Party. He's his own entity, and that's his own party, and that's his mentality. But things finally appear to be changing. Over the last few weeks, there have been incidents when mainstream Republicans have harshly called out right-wing radicals. Sunday on CNN's State of the Union with Dana Bash, Republican Congressman Tony Gonzalez from Texas seemed to shock the CNN host as Gonzalez blasted one of his own, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and others, for their condemnation of the foreign aid bill that included money for Ukraine and Israel. Congressman Gonzalez said on CNN, "I work with some real scumbags. Matt Gaetz had paid minors to have sex with him at parties. Bob Good endorsed my opponent, a known neo-Nazi. Gonzalez, supposed to be supporting of Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, did support him. And he was viciously attacked by Marjorie Taylor Greene. So Mike Johnson, even though he leans very much to the right, is not apparently a right-wing radical." Conservative commentator Scott Jennings on CNN said that the bold vote by Republicans to pass the foreign aid package, he said the adults have retaken control of the U.S. Congress. Jennings went on to say that he's fed up with Marjorie Taylor Greene being in charge of the Republican message. Conservative political pundit Ben Shapiro recently bashed right-wing radicals Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens. And while Ben Shapiro can lean strongly to the right, I consider him more of a mainstream Republican than Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens, who are right-wing radicals. Today, or actually yesterday, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell criticized Tucker Carlson for initially condemning the idea of sending aid to Ukraine. Carlson has been a platform for Russian propaganda, and Mitch McConnell is PO'd because he believes that Tucker Carlson did a lot to poison the minds of many Republican mainstreamers who then, after Tucker Carlson spoke, did not want aid support for Ukraine. What we're beginning to see is mainstream Republicans rising up with their position, with their opinions now. They're rising. I mean, they've been so passive, but they're rising up now and condemning the right-wing radicals and the attempt by right-wing radicals to take control of the Republican Party. If Trump wins the election in November, even if he wins, it will be because a lot of reluctant Republicans and Democrats voted for him because Joe Biden is the alternative. But even if Trump wins in November, the rejection of right-wing radicals will show that the Republican Party is not dead, and that's a good thing. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's see if we see more incidents of this. But, you know, the new thing that was added in yesterday was Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell condemning Tucker Carlson as a person who poisoned the minds of mainstream Americans when it came to aid to for Ukraine. And what's interesting about this is it's just a reminder that, you know, a lot of Americans are not thinking for themselves. They're picking out a leader to follow, and they're following that leader without thinking. They're blindly following leaders without even thinking. And so this has been a dangerous thing. And while there is also a divide among Democrats and the Democrat Party, there's a divide there because there are certainly progressive left-wing radicals. But this this divide in the Republican Party has been even deeper than the divide on the left. And I'm just surprised that it's taken so long for reasonable Republicans, mainstream Republicans, to stand up. And if you really listen carefully to what I'm saying, I'm talking about, you know, people trying to save the Republican Party from this takeover from right-wing radicals. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene, like Tucker Carlson, they have become a platform for Russian propaganda. Why? I don't know. Maybe because there seems to be this, I guess you would say, vicarious relationship between Trump and Vladimir Putin. I don't know how it is. It's proven, but there seems to be this relationship between these right-wing radicals and Trump and Russia, and it's Russia over Ukraine when Ukraine is fighting for democracy. I find it interesting.
Yeah, we've been seeing this for a couple of years now. Whatever you think of the Mueller report and all that, it is just undisputed fact that Trump's 2016 campaign apparatus was crawling with Russians.
Yeah,
and the 2016 Republican presidential platform had a sort of strange pro-Russian tilt to it, and so. Yeah, it's interesting to kind of see now, I think, some of the more centrist moderate Republicans, like you've been talking, to turn around and saying, look, this isn't just a weird sort of contrarian streak in the party. And that they really are Russian assets. And it's easy to tell when they turn around. You look at Russian state television and they've got Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tucker Carlson all over the place. Those are propaganda channels. Those aren't just like...
Boy,
you know, and the Russian equivalent of CNN or ABC. No, that is state-controlled media, and they love Marjorie Taylor Greene.
And during the 2020 campaign, so many of you were responding to Russian-based conservative Facebook pages. They posed as conservatives, and they sucked a lot of people in. And so they started wars within our country with bogus stuff. They made up stuff to create the divide and to make it seem like everything was wrong. Just made up stuff like Pizzagate and those kinds of things. So, you know, be careful in this election year. Be careful of what you actually tune into, and be careful about the Facebook pages that you get involved in, because it might be backed by Russians and they want your personal information so they can target you. On the Scoot in the Air Rock Culture Calendar today, we wish happy birthday to Barbra Streisand. Barbra Streisand, 82 years old today. And, you know, among the movies that she's done, I never saw it because it looked like such a tearjerker. But I love this song. It's a great song. The movie The Way We Were with Robert Redford, apparently it's a wonderful movie. But, you know, again, it looked too much like a tearjerker for me to spend time watching it. But this is a beautiful song, and she's a great singer, and she's 82 years old today. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. And also on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar today, we wish a happy birthday to Kelly Clarkson, 42 years old today. Wow, that used to be her waist size. And after she got on Ozempic or one of those other things, man, she lost a ton of weight right away. We're going to talk a little bit about the weight loss drugs and how they may have impacted the restaurant business, because the restaurant business overall is saying that profits are down. But could it be that just people aren't going out to eat as often, and it's not just that everybody's on these these drugs. Hey, listen, here is the Jazz Fest password for the day, Zydeco. Take the password, go to our website, WWL.com, and register to win tickets to the second weekend of Jazz Fest. Good luck from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest, and WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.